the argument as to why we have states and why we have societies in the fashion that we do is that there's a biological element to it, that this is something that is deeper than states. This is deeper than capitalism. This is something that is innate in the human being. And I've always felt that there was something a bit off about that, because as you point to, and I think many other anthropologists, people that are looking at it from maybe a very anthropological perspective, are examining all kinds of different forms of societies, and they're seeing that no, that human beings are actually quite diverse. We're capable of organizing ourselves in so many different ways. Would you say that the state is a natural function of human beings, and that we have to kind of counter it with certain maybe kind of an egalitarianism that's almost I remember hearing this term from some anthropologists describing a fierce egalitarianism, and they were studying hunter-gatherers, and these are these very nomadic tribes, and they had these mechanisms within their societies, within their cultures, to kind of de-emphasize the ability for certain individuals to gain leadership, right? So that they basically had these mechanisms in their societies to inhibit this desire that certain people might have to build hierarchies, to maintain control over other human beings. And I feel like I have this contention within myself whether human beings are more prone towards egalitarian social structures or towards more hierarchical social structures, and that if we're more prone to hierarchy, we still should desire egalitarianism, but we have to build maybe a societal or cultural mechanisms in order to inhibit that element of our nature. Does that make any sense? I feel like I just wondering if you had any insights into that.
Yeah. The argument that humans have a biological need or drive for the state makes about as much sense as an argument that humans have a biological need for the internet. It just doesn't make sense because the vast majority of human history, there's been no state, and also in recent history, there have been many stateless peoples. There are constantly moments in which state authority fails and people do just fine. So it just can't really be taken seriously as an argument. It's it's like phrenology or all of these other scientific arguments, which really have one purpose. It's not to interpret any body of evidence because there is no evidence to support it. It's simply an attempt to justify hierarchies that exist within our society. Mm-hmm. It's also, I think, implicitly a white supremacist and colonialist argument, because if you look at that argument historically, you have the British Empire, the Spanish Crown, French Empire, the United States, all these other settler states, Australia, etc., going in and just unleashing this wave of genocide against any society that was different, killing them off or enslaving them, and then their scientists come along and say and claim some universal human nature or wipe out. They help to erase the memory of the ways of being of those other societies. You mention that maybe there's a need for cultural mechanisms to prevent hierarchy. Yes. I don't think there's any such thing as human nature. I think we can only talk about human capabilities or potentials. Humans have the capability of creating egalitarian horizontal societies, and humans have the capability of creating hierarchical oppressive, exploitive societies. We have the whole range. We can paint in the entire palette, and ultimately, it's a collective question of what we want to do. Every single human society has cultural mechanisms that encourage certain behaviors and discourage other behaviors. Every single one. So it only makes sense that a society that doesn't want to be ruled, a society that doesn't want to have masters and slaves, would develop cultural mechanisms that encourage egalitarianism, that encourage suspicion of leaders or people trying to accumulate power or resources. However, I also think it's safe to say that like when you talk about these anthropological theories of sort of like willfully egalitarian societies that get studied and end up in these lists of characteristics of stateless societies. I think it's safe to say that the vast majority of those societies are post-state societies. They're societies that already have had contact with states, either neighboring states that they've had to fight off and resist or run away from due to that age-old state activity of kidnapping people and forcing them to work and to obey. Or there are even societies that had a state and then got rid of that state in one way or another and learned and evolved and became smarter. So I wouldn't at all be surprised to find, and if we're going to talk about anthropological evidence and whatnot, it seems to be suggested that actually the most actively anti-authoritarian societies in human history have been post-state societies. These are societies that have wised up, that have learned, at least with regard to states, and so they've probably developed more cultural mechanisms to prevent the reemergence of a state. And that's exactly what we would have to do if we were ever able to overthrow the state and horizontally organize our own societies. I mean, we've all been trained in reproducing oppressive systems, reproducing hierarchies, whether by obeying or leading. Anyone who grows up in our society will have generations and generations of trauma to work through. It's not a change that can happen in just one generation. So we would have, without a doubt, a very urgent need to come up with cultural mechanisms that encourage healing, that encourage anti-authoritarian behaviors, and that discourage oppressive and exploitative behaviors. And these are mechanisms that you can see being developed in anti-authoritarian movements across the globe.